Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Garibaldi Red podcast. Do hope you're well. I'm Max Hayes, your host, and it hasn't been a great week for Forest off the pitch, has it? With new season ticket prices being announced, and certainly a fan response to that. 24% increase across all season tickets, with most expensive season ticket pricing at £850. That's up from £660 from the 2023-24 season. The youth age bracket goes from 14 to 17 year olds, meaning an 18 year old goes from £195 to £700, if not a little bit more in some areas of the ground. That's the bracket I fall in and will have to pay next season. And it's not been a good week in terms of the response to Forest fans. Joining us to discuss that and lots more is the chair of the Nottingham Forest Supporters Trust, Andy Cadell. Andy, thanks for joining us today. Really appreciate your time. First of all, how are you? And I can imagine it's been a mad week for you on all sorts of media appearances and things like that, talking about this.
I'm fine, thank you, and thanks for asking. When I got involved with the Supporters Trust right at the beginning, actually, I never sort of expected I might be on the telly and on national radio and so on, without any media training to help me do that. So it's been interesting, but you try to give a voice to what some fans think. There always has to be some spokesperson for the fans, and I try to do my best to not reflect just my views but reflect the views of the people we represent at the Supporters Trust.
Yes, definitely. Let's start with the Trust statement on this. And I don't want to read it fully because we might be here a while, as you can imagine. And I do recommend Forest fans do read the statement, and obviously members and things like that. But can you kind of just give us almost a bit of a brief summary, Andy, of your statements, the conversations that you guys kind of had on the board to put this statement out, and just really your thoughts on this news this week with the season ticket prices increasing?
Yeah, of course. And before I talk about that, what I do want to say first out is that I think everybody absolutely understands what a great job the current ownership has done for the club. Mr. Marinakis and Mr. Komonak has been hugely generous owners, almost could say benefactors, couldn't he, the amount of money that's been committed, which they've underwritten, into the club, and down to their stewardship of the club. We're currently in the Premier League. And so I'd like to sort of just start by recording that, people are deeply grateful for that. And there's nobody campaigning against the owners or anything here. However, this specific issue relating to the price increases we've seen is, in my view, completely unacceptable, and I think it's been handled really badly by the club, and I'm surprised because I think they haven't made this sort of mistake, this error, previous, certainly not on this sort of scale. And you've talked about the fan reaction. We've never seen anything like it. I haven't seen not a single person anywhere supporting these rises, apart from a few jibes from the likes of Derby fans and so on, but elsewhere. So there's a few things to cover here, I think, Max. The first one is the absolute increase in price that we've seen. And you've talked about it there, 24%. Perhaps more important than the 24% is the change in some of the concessions, what's happening with the age groups. And it's really stark. And it's been mentioned by you then previously, but some people, it's worth talking about again. Somebody of 18 years old sitting in the main stand or Brian Clough in those central areas was paying £190 last season, and next season they'll pay £850. That's an 18-year-old. 18-year-olds don't earn money, generally speaking. In fact, most 18-year-olds, by law, have to still be in education. It seems mad to me. And aren't these people our future? Wasn't it the case that there was a strategy from the club some time ago to try to encourage more and more people in? You and I have been going to the ground a long time. Didn't used to be full, did it? And the demographic in there was older. It was tends to be people of my age and older, was the modal type of fan in there. And now we see lots and lots of youngsters, especially away. And those people like yourself, Max, and people of your age groups are the future. They're going to be going. But how many 18-year-olds can afford £850 for their season card? I think Forest are probably like a lot of clubs. A lot of season cards are concessions. It might even be the majority, I don't know, but there's certainly a very high number of season cards are concessions. And you can see it from the club's point of view, can't you? Rather than it being, rather than somebody paying, what do you think the average price works out? I haven't done this. I probably should have done. Probably about 40 quid a head, something like that, even with per game, something like that. Rather than me paying that £40, what if the club could at some point in the future sell that to a tourist type of fan for £150 or more, like they do in American sport? People going to New York for the weekend, want to take in a game, and they'll go and watch some baseball or American football or so on. Happily drop 200 quid on that. You go to a lot of away matches. You've been to London Stadium. What do you think about the atmosphere at West Ham?
It's quiet. It's absolutely empty.
It absolutely is. And yet, they've got season card waiting lists at West Ham. They get 60,000 in there. If you've been to Upton Park in the past, there wasn't 60,000 people in there, was there? So it's been a successful model for them on a commercial point of view, but the stadium has suffered in terms of atmosphere, in my opinion. You know, I've been there a couple of times. And anyway, so that's the first thing, isn't it? It's the actual price, and it's the change of the concessions, put it like that. But it's wider than that. I think the comms strategy behind what's going on has been deeply questionable. So we've had a lot of messages in to the trust from people, quite often older people, who are saying that they're having to seriously consider now whether they can keep going to the to watch the club they've watched in a few cases, and I mentioned this in other media appearances, for more than 40 years. Can you imagine how important that is to these people? They've been going to watch their football club for 40 years, and then I won't be able to watch anymore. But attendant to that messaging around the season card pricing very shortly afterwards, there was a further announcement of glory. Whoa, look at us, aren't we? Look at this. We're really great. We're delighted to report the fact we've now got 11,000 people on our waiting list. And let's just put ourselves in the position of somebody who can't afford the price. In the future, you're told, it's okay, because if you can't afford it, there's somebody just on that waiting list who can, and they'll have your season card, so don't worry, it'll be fine. I just think, I hope that it was unintentional.
Do you think it was unintentional? And you touch on there the comms strategy, Andy, and I can remember when... Just a few days ago when this all came out, and I thought, right, okay, you know, the fan reactions hasn't been great at all, and the club might sit quietly for a while. But so then come out with not one, but two tweets that were very, well, we've got 11,000. It was almost like saying, well, we've got 11,000 season card wait, you know, on this waiting list. And as you just said there, if you can't pay it, well, somebody else will. And then it also, you know, conflicted with the whole safe standing announcement, which seemed like a poor communications.
Yeah, I was going to come on to that. But yeah, the two things together. I mean, nobody's talking about safe standing, are they? No. Forza and others have been campaigning for that really successfully for ages. That should, help contribute to an even better atmosphere in the stadium. I'd like to come back to atmosphere in a minute, because I think that's a really important factor in what's going on here. So do I think they did it on purpose? It'd be so cynical, wouldn't it? I sort of really hope not. But look, I work in communications, not in sport, in healthcare, but I would have thought about it. You can't send that out straight after the other. You can't do that. What will people think? Oh, no, I didn't mean it. No, I know you didn't mean it. Don't do it. Don't send it out. Let's not say that. You know, we saw the announcement some time ago about the fact there was going to be a waiting list, but then to tell people about how the waiting list was getting on, again, oh, now we've got 11,000. We did. I mean, I know some of the people involved. They're clever, able, decent people who work in comms at the club. So, I don't, they're not mates. You know, I've met with them a few times, but they're not good friends of mine. I couldn't say that I know their characters really well. I hope not, Max. Having met them, I certainly wouldn't have suspected of them, but you tend to judge on actions, don't you? And certainly there's a lot of people, communicating with us and saying, that's cynical. They're doing that on purpose. That's what people are perceiving, and you can understand why they're perceiving it.
Yeah, you certainly can. I will also add, we are live on Facebook and YouTube. A lot of comments coming to us. So what we'll do is we'll do kind of a bit of a Q&A section in a way at the end. So if you've got any questions for Andy on behalf of the Supporters Trust and anything that kind of he is able to answer, then we will do that at the end. But wanted to kind of touch on almost the dealings that you've had with the club, and I know you won't be able to go into too much detail on everything, Andy. But what dealings did you have beforehand? There is a fan advisory board. Yeah. Was there any indication the club were going to put these prices up? Was there any idea you had that this was coming? And have you had any kind of communication with them since this price increase this week?
Okay. The Supporters Trust are one of we have one representative on the FAB, Asif, my colleague from the Trust Board, and he chairs the FAB. And then there are seven other members of the FAB, as I'm sure your listeners probably know. But the, you know, the major sport, the major fan groups like Punjabi Forest, like Forza, Forest Disabled Sports Association, Supporters Club, and North America. I think those people are all on it. Obviously, the North American one by would attend virtually, and then there's two independents. Okay, so eight people in total. So and really chosen to try to represent a wide cohort of fans. And so what our so the trust's in role in that is that what we try to do is we before any of the meetings is we give our members the opportunity to come back to us, and we are led by them. It's not Asif's opinion when he's representing the trust, it's the opinion of our members. And so what we did was we attended the FAB meeting to discuss ticket pricing. And there was a presentation from the club to the members of that FAB. And what the trust did at that meeting was presented the results of our survey, which we had done amongst our members, but wider fans as well. And the overall, just top line of that really, Max, was that most people accepted a price increase. It was not only inevitable, but was also absolutely fine. It was acceptable. And the scale of the price increase was, people were sort of saying 5%, that'd be great. Yeah, no, in fact, well received. Up to 10%, yeah. Okay, yeah, that would be all right. More than that, was considered to be probably unacceptable. And we can perhaps talk about what these price increases mean in terms of actual revenue or increased revenue to the club. I'd like to come back to that in a minute if we can. So that was that. The club then had their own presentation to the FAB. And I think this is all minuted. You know, it's, I think your listeners and viewers can look this up. They made a presentation back, and I think there was like a benchmarking exercise and so on in there, and talking about what sort of price increases was going on elsewhere. And quite strongly, not just from the trust, but from the other members, those other seven members, and it's important, everybody has an equal voice on that FAB. The feedback that the club got was this modest price increase would be okay. We felt that the FAB felt that that's what the fans would accept. There was no indication at all from the club as to what the price increases would be, and there was certainly no hint that it would be on this sort of scale. I understand that the FAB believed that they would be consulted again when the prices went out, but they weren't, and they were given very little notice indeed of the announcement. It just went out. So again, the interpretation here is that can the FAB, at least in this area of pricing, can the FAB influence the club on pricing, or was it a tick box exercise? Yeah. Did those people on the FAB, all of whom are volunteers, did they waste their time going to that meeting? Was the decision taken beforehand? I mean, I don't know, but everybody listening to this can take their own view on it. But given that the club were told what the view was about that wide cohort representative fans at that meeting, given the club were told that, and then we got the price increases we've seen, it has to be the case they weren't influenced. So why did they hold the meeting? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a very interesting one, and it's interesting with that fan advisory board. And as you say, you can read those online; they are available to read. And you mentioned also Forza Garibaldi, who kind of put a similar statement to the Trust out.
Yeah.
You know, obviously separate, but Forza talked about withdrawing flags and things yeah. like that from the ground in almost protest against this price increase. Let's come back to a point you just mentioned, Andy, and you wanted to touch on, was about the increase of profit for the club. Mm. At a time when Forest have struggled this season with PSR and we all know the outcome of that. Do you think there was the club have done this? I mean, you know, of course there'll be an increase in profit, but would there have been any almost conversations had amongst the club, in your opinion, do you think, in terms of actually we're in this kind of bit of a financial mess, we've got to get some more commercial revenue and ticket revenue in, so this is a good way to do it?
Yeah, possibly. But let's then look at the numbers, shall we? So there's been various interpretations as to how much extra revenue this will bring in. And the lowest I've seen is 2 million, the highest I've seen is 3. So let's say £2.5 million of extra revenue. And do you know what the difference between, in terms of money, is between each position in the Premier League, 16th against 17th, for example? And you know why I've said those two numbers. £3.2 million. So we're 16th rather than 17th, we get an extra £3.2 million of revenue. A front of shirt sponsorship. Last year, the rumours were we were offered £5 million. I won't put my cards on the table. I was really proud of our club and of Mr. Marinakis' decision to say, right, you know, we've asked for whatever it was they asked for. And of course, I don't know that. But to say, no, we're going to promote and give publicity to UNHCR instead, I thought it was tremendous. But it was still, you know, people could legitimately say, well, it was maybe £5 or £6 million that was offered. That was declined for the reasons I just mentioned. So that would be 2 years' worth of these price increases. The media revenue, about £130 million. These numbers aren't big, at least not in 1 year. And that's my concern, Max, that we've seen this 1 year of price increases. Well, we get the same next year, another 2.5, and the next year after that, and so on and so on. Is this indication an indication of the direction of travel in football pricing? Are we going to see the end of the legacy fan? And I've used that horrible term elsewhere in one of the other interviews I've done. You know, people who've been going a long time but can't afford these prices. Football is changing, isn't it? You know, it started off being a working man's game and so on, and I've been going to football for a long time, and you know, it's changed, and actually a lot of it's changed for the better. You know, you see, you know, much more diverse mix of people, and that's all a good thing. But the gentrification of it, I regret to some degree. You know, it's listen, it's a commercial world, and you know, there is a direction of travel, and it can't be completely stopped, and. There are, however, better ways of doing it than the way in which we've done it. Are prices going to stay really low forever? No, of course not. There's massive demand. You know, I mean, if I was running the club, I'd probably say, well, hang on a minute. We've got loads of people prepared to pay a lot more money here. But I hope I would also say, yeah, but these 24% price increases overnight in one season, why don't we instead say, right, let's consult widely with the FAB and whoever else it might be and say, listen, fellas, we need to get more revenue from tickets and ticket pricing. And this is where we'd like to be. We'd like to be modal, somewhere within the middle. I'll come back to that in a minute, because I think the benchmarking needs some careful thought, but come back to that. So in 5 years' time, we need to be there. So can we agree a strategy of how we get there? And by the way, whilst we're doing that, you're going to be spending more money for your ticket, but you're going to be getting more stuff. This is what we're doing with the stadium. This is what we're doing with the facilities. This is what we're doing with the hot water in the main stand and the hot water in the Brian Clough. We're going to have some toilet paper. You know, I'm not being facetious here, but you know, some of these price increases for the facilities that we see at our wonderful ground, which I love, and it's honestly my favourite football ground. You know, here's another point. It's not just my favourite football ground. Nick Randall told me some time ago when he was still chair last season, he told me that, you know, the people who he meets on match day, sorry, his equivalents, the chair and the you know, senior people of the clubs we were playing, almost without exception, all of them were marveling at the atmosphere at the City Ground, that febrile atmosphere that we generate in that ground. And there's so many things, so I'm going a bit all over the place on this, but there's so many things about that atmosphere, isn't there?
Yeah.
You know, we've generated it. Isn't it the case that the atmosphere that we generate at our grounds here, you know, in this country, isn't that one of the reasons why the Premier League has been incredibly successful and foreign businessmen like Mr. Marinakis and, you know, the rest of the people who bought into English football clubs and, you know, even nation states buying football clubs, why did they do it? Well, there was something really attractive about it, wasn't there? There was something exciting about it. If you've ever been to sport in America, it's very different. I've been to American football games, New Jersey, basketball and the rest, but hockey, ice hockey is a bit more noisy there, but American football games, you just say, there's a great game going on over here, fella. No, it's okay, guy. Hey, can I get a beer? It's so different. And, you know, I just regret, and I wonder whether or not at some point in the future, if this isn't attended to really carefully, that we might find ourselves in a position we look back and go, you know what, we've spoiled this a bit. We've lost something.
Yeah, and it's interesting. And you just wonder sometimes, Andy, and I'm talking more from a fan's point of view here, but, you know, the fans sing that kind of Forest of Magic on and off the pitch, and there's that hole, and I don't know if there'll be many chances of that on Sunday, but there's, you know, there's that whole City Ground atmosphere. And as Steve Cooper alluded to previously, it oozes football soul, the City Ground. And by doing something like this, by pricing out Forest fans that, as you have mentioned, have been going for 40 years. I've seen tweets on Twitter from people that are having to choose whether their son or daughter goes next year, and that's the position we're in. It's just so sad to see, and it will really drag the football soul out of the City Ground.
So here's perhaps a hyperbolic statement for you. Could it be the case that this decision and the timing of it, and, you know, a month before the end of the season, oh, by the way, 1 month, and you know what that means? One payday to find up to 850 quid for a lot of people. Has everybody got that sort of money to drop, you know, before the next payday or at the next payday? It's a great deal of money. So anyway, here's my hyperbolic statement. Could this decision be an important factor in Forest being relegated?
Yeah.
Why did Forest get 30 points out of our 38 points last season at home? Why do you think that was? Well, what I just said to you about what Nick said to me about the febrile atmosphere that other clubs, these owners and these directors of other clubs who've been going around football for years and years and years, they come to the Forest Ground, to City Ground for the first time in some of their cases ever. And they're going, oh, wow, what you've got here is pretty special. The atmosphere, and from the players' point of view as well, players on the pitch thinking, wow, we don't get this cacophony of noise. We don't get this in many places. The intimidation of it, that's why we got 30 points. Our fans kept us up. 11 fellas on the pitch, or 10 in red shirts, and the goalkeeper in blue or yellow, whatever he was wearing at the time, they kept us up as well. So did the coach, Steve Cooper, last year. And Nuno's this year doing his very best, his level best to keep us up. The fans, everybody says it, bring some noise, say Nottingham Forest to us, their fans, bring some noise. What about now, if people are sort of thinking, a bit disappointed? There's been some talk, hasn't there, of not singing Mull of Kintyre against City. Maybe against City, there's not anything you could sing to help win. But what about Chelsea? They're more vulnerable. We could beat them, maybe. And actually, we got a point off City last year. Maybe they're all be taken off the ball now. They were knocked out of Europe last night. Who knows? But I tell you what, a less atmospheric City Ground is not going to be positive for our club. What if we don't? What if we, you know, I don't know. It's a bit of a hyperbolic statement, as I've said. But I do think it's a really, really important issue. And I'm surprised at the club. I mentioned benchmarking. Can I just talk about that?
Yeah, of course, Andy, yeah.
Right, so benchmarking. I think the statement came out from the club that that the club's intention was to keep our pricing competitive, something like that, or alongside other clubs in the Premier League. Seven of them in London. Fulham, Chelsea, places like that. We can't compare with that. You know, the fans who go to these clubs, they're a different type of fan to the average Forest fan. I had a meeting the other day about something with the Community Trust, with Callum and Karen at the Community Trust, alongside a colleague of mine from the Trust. And quite an exciting initiative we might be doing at some point, and news on that to come in the future. But I can't remember if it was Callum or Karen who talked about some of the wards in Notts in the area, and where the Community Trust do some brilliant work. I mean, if your listeners aren't aware of them, you should look them up. And Nottingham Forest Community Trust, wonderful, wonderful organisation. Yeah. And by the way, very importantly, really generously supported by our owner, Mr. Maranakis. He's put a lot of money into it, and he's done the same sort of thing in Olympiacos. You know, he's really keen on helping the community in the area. But what Callum and Karen were talking about was how disadvantaged some of the wards in Nottingham are compared to the whole of the rest of the country. We are not an economic powerhouse across the whole of Nottingham, right? Not everybody lives in posh parts of town and so on. A lot of people who go to the football club don't have a huge amount of money. You know, for my season card, Max, went up from £550 to £700. And my wife's did too. Rebecca and I sitting obviously together. What a surprise at the ground, and it's gone £550 to £700. I'm in a very, very fortunate position to be able to afford that. Lots of people, that's another £150 to find. It's tricky for them. We have a different fan base to many others, and so when you're doing a benchmarking exercise, you need to benchmark to equivalent clubs. And when you do that, these price increases do not necessarily put us in the middle. They're towards the top then. And I tell you one more thing. If we get relegated, and I think the bookmakers have got us something like 2-1 against, Luton, 8-13. Some people might say it's a bit closer than that. But if we get relegated, there's no mention at all of whether or not these price increases will stay the same. In fact, because there's no mention, you have to assume they will stay the same. Where does that put us then? Does that put us competitive in the championship? No, of course it doesn't. We'd be right at the top end. And I wonder how many people on that 11,000 waiting list would actually go ahead and buy a season card at that sort of price to watch championship football at the City Ground. I suspect it'd be rather fewer than the club might expect. So, and overall, I think it's been an alarming development, and I think really badly handled by the club, sadly, and frankly, under this ownership, by some degree, the worst thing that's happened for them. I think they'll be quite surprised at it, and I sincerely hope that they take some action to show what I actually believe, that they really do care about the fans. I do think they do care about opinions and so on, and perhaps they've just miscalculated. I hope so.
Yeah. I understand you might not be able to go into this too much, Andy, but have you had any indications or response to the statement and to the news from Forest, the club itself? Have you simply had any dealings with the chairman or with any representative from Nottingham Forest this week?
So the main consultative body for the club now with fans is the FAB. Your listeners aren't aware, Premier League clubs have to have fan advisory boards. It's a requirement. The Premier League decided upon that. Some people are interpreting that as their means of avoiding government regulation, sort of insisting upon fan representation. There was some speculation at some point that the government could act to say you have to have a fan representative on your board, and the vast majority of football clubs wouldn't want that. But anyway, FABs are the main way to consult. So I've met with Tom on a few other things, but not about this, and it's not appropriate. It's entirely appropriate. I only represent the Supporters Trust when I'm at the club, not the wider group, and it's really, really important that as wider group of fans are represented. So The answer is the FAB have asked for a meet with the club, and that is happening. There's no agenda to it or anything yet, but that is happening. And I believe there will be a statement from the FAB about that pretty imminently, having had the meeting.
Okay. Interesting. So, and do you think, well, in that meeting, is that Tom Cartledge, the Forest chairman, just him, or will there be other representatives?
Be other representatives. It obviously will be Tom. He's the chair, and that's his role. But there will be other senior people at the club as well. And not the owners. Clearly, you never meet with the owners, and that's no issue at all. That's not appropriate. We have a UK executive board, and those are the appropriate people to meet with. So yeah, it's definitely Tom and others.
Yeah, I wanted to touch on Tom, and it was a positive move when he was appointed chairman. This is a man that's a lifelong Forest fan from Nottingham. Yeah. He's been involved with the club in terms of the whole ground redevelopment for a few years. He knows Mr. Maranak as well. It's a very sensible appointment.
Yeah.
As you can imagine, lots of criticism to him from fans.
Yes.
And I can remember when he first took over, he said in a statement that he basically wanted to keep Forest affordable. He talked about how he was sneaked in as a young fan under his jacket.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Under his dad's jacket. What's your dealings been like with Tom since he's taken over as chairman? And I suppose not trying to, you know, take this off on a tangent too much in terms of ground redevelopment, but this is a man that you'd surely think would, if he's partly responsible for the ticket prices, that he would have really thought quite deeply about it, considering his statement just a few weeks ago.
Yeah. I met with him a few times, and some of your listeners and viewers will have seen the Q&A that we did with him, and I was really impressed. You know, a really warm, nice, friendly sort of guy. Different sort of character to Nick Randall, but clearly a successful fellow. I mean, CEO of one of Knott's, you know, most important businesses. You know, it's a family business, and you know, they're a proper big international company. So he's clearly an extremely able fellow. Let's remember one thing though: Tom Cartledge doesn't own Nottingham Forest, and he doesn't own any of it at all. Actually, he's the chairman, and I think it's probably fair. He's very much a CEO of his own business, and therefore it might be quite a bit difficult for him not to actually behave a bit as a CEO as well at Forest. And you know, those two roles are usually separated. Certainly most UK businesses they would be separated, but so he's sort of maybe covering both roles, I don't know. But ultimately, my point here is that he doesn't own the club, it's owned by Mr. Maranakis 80% and Mr. Kominakis 20%. That's who owns it. And we all go there and we feel it's our club, and we talk about our club and this and that and the other. But it isn't, not legally. It's not our club in that regard. It's their club, those two successful businessmen. And I said right at the beginning of this chat about what I feel about what they've done. We're in the Premier League and it's down to them. Largely speaking, they took over, they rescued us actually from the previous ownership, which probably don't need to go into that at the minute, but they rescued us, and the direction of travel has been pretty up, you know, stepped up and up and up ever since, and under their stewardship. My point here is that it's likely, I think, I mean, I don't know this, but I think it's surely likely that the ultimate decision on the pricing here is taken by the ownership group. Now, I'm not saying Mr. Maranakis himself is looking through spreadsheets and so on, but he'll have people around him. And I'd imagine that's probably where it was. And it made the case, therefore, that it's been passed to Tom and to his senior leadership team in the UK to just deliver it. Maybe he was past that. I don't know. I'm guessing. But I do think he's a, clearly know he's a proper fan, man and boy, home and away. He's a proper supporter of the club. And I think you're right. He has talked about the need to keep it affordable, but ultimately maybe it's not his decision. But then again, he is the chair. And so you'd imagine he'd surely have some influence. I don't know. I can't speak as to what his view is about it. I wasn't at the meeting when the FAB talked about the pricing, so I can't interpret really that. And the FAB, by the way, they are under confidentiality concerns. So although we get a report back from ASIF, our representative on that, then, you know, some of it does have to stay internal to that. I mean, in much the same way as we've done in the past when we've met and we could have trust with the main body to talk to the club last year about price increases. And so we got quite a bit of inside confidential information at the time. And you obviously can't share deeply confidential information because you'll never get consulted again, but you always do try to represent the interests of the fans. And, you know, we've come under some criticism over the years from people who perhaps don't know better, thinking we're patsies to the club and so on. And it's not true. We're not, we never have been. But you do sometimes have to behave in a responsible fashion, which means not sharing confidentiality. So I won't be as aware of Tom's stewardship of this as ASIF would be.
I will also add as well, just for listeners and viewers, that there is another kind of senior official that joined Forest recently in terms of Paul Bell, who I think's role is chief operating officer, who was from Leeds United and was largely responsible there for ticketing.
Sorry for interrupting, Max.
It's all right, man.
I should have mentioned that actually. Paul made a presentation to the FAB around pricing, but as I said, that presentation did not include information on proposed price increases. But you're right, that's worth mentioning. Paul has led this.
Interesting there. Right, let's just do a bit of a quick Q&A just from some questions. Just going to pick out three or four here. It's a bit wary of time. And then we will kind of finish with just final thoughts. This question, Andy, first from Lewis. Say, God forbid, if we go down, will these prices stick? I think that's probably a question on a lot of Forest fans at the minute. Do you think that Forest will stick with these prices if Forest got relegated?
I can't understand why they wouldn't have mentioned. I suppose it might sound negative. They don't. Certainly, I think Mr. Marinakis doesn't ever want to talk or think about, relegation. It's not on his agenda at all. So it could be that. It could be that they just thought, I'm not mentioning it. And so if we were relegated, maybe there is a different line. I don't know, but it hasn't been in the announcement. And so if I was a betting man, you know, that old £1 million drop, where do you put your money? Do you put all your million on? I think I might go, if I still had the million, I think I'd go 600,000, they'll stay the same, and 400,000. So maybe they're not quite, 60-40. I think they'd stay the same.
And another one here from Twitter, which is asked by someone named Tom, who asks, Andy, as the Forest Supporters Trust, will you be up for having conversations with the club in the summer in terms of if they decided to basically decrease the prices again? I'm kind of guessing the answer to that would be yes.
Yeah, definitely. It wouldn't just be the Supporters Trust, it would be the FAB, but very, very strongly our view is that the prices are not right for the reasons we've talked about in the last half an hour. And we absolutely would ask for reductions, changes to the concession, those concession changes. There's a number of I'm going to say demands, that's perhaps too strong. You can't demand, can you? Requests that we'd have of the club. We accept a price increase. We just don't think this one is appropriate or fair.
Yeah. And this one from Anne, which says, will those 11,000 people on the wanting list simply want to pay these prices? I kind of understand that's a bit of a difficult question for you to answer, Andy, but the club did say that there was 11,000 people on the waiting list.
How about if some of those 11,000 people were sort of the people who don't live in Nottingham and think, £550 for it, or let's go up £600 for a season ticket. I go up to Nottingham six times a year to see family. It's a lot of money, but I don't know. My feeling is certainly of all 11,000, definitely not.
Yeah,
not all of them would want to pay the new prices, but I suspect a big enough number would. So let's say we lose 500 or 1,000 legacy fans because of these price increases. It might not be that high, but all of those, if they go on sale again, then I think all of those would be taken up.
And one just finally from Twitter, because I'm going to try and mix it up with people on different social media platforms, on Twitter. Sure. or X. James says, the Forest Supporters Trust has been criticised a lot recently, but is this a sign of the times that the club is dealing with the trust and vice versa? And what role does the trust ultimately play to do with the club?
That's a really good question. I'm going to defend the trust. You're surprised to hear that, aren't you? We've been criticised, but I think not always being criticised by people who are really informed as to what we do. So we have never been the voice of the club. We've never been intimidated by the club. We consult with the club and we've tried to persuade and to influence and sometimes to inform the club on behalf of our members, right? Not all members. We don't try to pretend that we represent people who aren't members of the trust. So I'm going to defend us. I'm not going to list a whole list of achievements now, but go on our website, nffctrust.org, a bit of promotion there, and have a look at some of the stuff we've done. I'm really proud of a lot of the things that we've done as an organisation. We have a decent relationship with the club, or have had. And have we got everything right? No, not at all. But we're volunteers and we try to do our best. Now, we now have to find a role for the trust alongside the FAB, right? So the FAB will be the primary way the club consult going forward, and that's absolutely fine. We have no issue with that whatsoever. Where we will position ourselves is that compared to the other representatives on the FAB, not all of them have the sort of structure that we have, which allows our members to speak to us about what they want. So we do surveys. There will be a new survey coming out very soon, quite a comprehensive one, to members. I think we might even make it wider than that. I'm really, really keen for people to respond to that. We will then use that information to inform what we talk to the club about. So if you want to have your voice brought to the club, then the trust is a good way to do that. Not necessarily all those other organizations I've talked about. They don't all necessarily represent their members in the same sort of way that we do. No criticism at all, by the way. I've said, I hope, repeatedly throughout this interview that I really believe and support wide representation of fans. But for the trust, that's what I can speak for. If you want into a view with the club, then you can talk to us about it and we'll take it. Even on an individual level, we've done that on many, many occasions, picked up individual issues for people with senior people at the club and got resolution to things. We will also be finding a role for ourselves in a few other areas. I'm going to touch upon very briefly the PSR appeal. We'll be putting an announcement probably early next week about our submission to the appeals board. I'd urge your viewers and listeners to have a look at that and then judge us based on that. And so we hope that we'll have a positive influence on that appeals board. Who knows whether we will or not, but if go and have a read of it when it comes out. We'll put it out after the appeal board decision have your own interpretation of what the Forest Supporters Trust does when you see that. I'm extremely proud of it. And there's a whole load of other things that we do as well around promoting diversity. We are really keen at making sure that female Forest fans get their voices heard, and we have a few initiatives around that. We have a meeting with the chairman lined up for a group of female Forest fans to hear what they have to say. And there's a whole load of other areas as well. We will work alongside the FAB, not instead of.
Got you. Good stuff. And just finally, Andy, end it on a bit of a lighter note. As a fan, as a fan's point of view, big game against Everton on Sunday, the remaining cup finals as such as people are talking about. You confident that Forest are going to stay up?
Confident. I think we will, but I did have to hesitate before going that. I'm going to Everton, and I watched the Chelsea game against Everton, and okay, I got battered, didn't they? 6-0, and great, 6-0. But I watched it and I thought, they're a nightmare for us to play against. Look at the size of those fellas for all those set pieces. Look at their aggression. Look at that pushing and shoving. And, they all seem to be 6'4", don't they? Although I think Branthwaite got injured, didn't he? I don't know if he's back for Sunday. Sincerely hope not. And is it Tarkowski? He's a really good player, but he's been around a bit. He knows what he's doing. They're a bit of a nightmare team for us to play against, I think. And they're not really, we haven't really had an issue with Everton over the years. Now, I like Everton as a, you know, as a team, as a club. Well, no, not particularly as a team. You know, as a club, the supporters, all that. You know, they're grand, you know, Goodison Park, wonderful stadium. But, I don't know. Though I think, you know, the two more wins maybe might do it, mightn't they? And with any luck, when we play Sheffield United and Burnley away, those two, do professional players really, really put it all in when it's gone, when they're down? I mean, I don't know. Do they 100%? Maybe not. Maybe 95. We should have enough, shouldn't we? We should have enough to stay up. So I'll do my £1 million drop again, Matt. So I'm going to go 750 on us staying up. I think I'll have 250 on us going down, because I could then spend that to make myself feel better. Well, whilst I'm watching us in the championship, I'll still be going home and away.
Yeah. You'll have to spend it on the season ticket.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. A bit of change, wouldn't I? Yeah.
Right. Thank you. I think that does us nicely. Andy, really appreciate your time today. And as you mentioned, any members interested, any listeners and viewers interested to hear more about becoming a member of the Forest Supporters Trust, it's nffctrust.org, as well as NFFC Trust on social media platforms. Really appreciate your time, Andy. Fingers crossed Forest bounce back this weekend on the pitch, and off the pitch, we will wait and see what happens. Thanks for all your comments as well today. Do leave us a like, share and subscribe on YouTube, and leave us a review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. We will see you next time. Thank you as always for listening to Garibaldi Red, and have a wonderful weekend. Bye bye.